The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, 3 John, verse 9. 3 John, verse 9. That's page 8 of your notes. The local church is the classroom of Christianity. It has been established that the local church would be the environment that God has chosen in His wisdom for the matriculation of positive volition under face-to-face teaching. The important ingredients in this is the textbook. That's the Word of God, the Bible, all that's in it. Then there are the students or disciples, believers. And then there's the professor or the pastor teacher, the one who studies and communicates the content to those who elect to assemble. And for this to work for all of us and individually, we have to be in fellowship. And God has given us a rapid, quick way of getting in fellowship. You don't have to beat yourself up. You just rebound and keep moving. So if that's what you need to do, that's what you have opportunity to do at this time. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for yet another day and another opportunity to be able to assemble ourselves together and hear divine viewpoint so that we can have peace, joy, and all those other features that come to the believer who is occupied with the Lord and His Word. Thank You so much that we have this truth and this information to guide us through these dark times. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the problem child. I entitled this, based on John's use of the word children. And this is I wrote something to the church. John announces here to Gaius. Aorist indicative, the verb to write. Something, indefinite pronoun, tis, to the church, definite article, noun, dative feminine singular, ecclesia. First mention of church in any of these letters, and he obviously was responsible for this local congregation during the apostolic era when apostles had responsibility for multiple congregations in various areas. But, strong conjunction Allah, but Diotrephes. This is the individuals, that's a Greek name, who loves to be first among them. The word loves is the present active participle, philo protus. This word, who loves to be first, that whole who loves to be first is based on this verb only occurring here. We don't have any other examples of it in the New Testament, so it's a hapax. And the verb means someone who desires. Philo is a Greek word for friend or synonym for love, desire. Desire to be first among them. That would be the general congregation. Does not accept what we say. We have the strong negative uk, except. The verb is the present deponent indicative, epidekomai. It means to pay attention to. A strong word, a compound word for receiving. He does not accept, pay attention to, if you will, to us. All right? Verse 10. John announces to Gaius that he's going to deal with this. One diastrophes. Something that is not pleasant to have to do. But he is going to deal with this character who is disruptive to the fellowship and the well-being of a local congregation because he's running amok under his sin nature. For this reason, if I come, obviously that was up in the air, if I come, we have the particle ian, come, aorist active indicative, if I come, I will call attention. Future active indicative, hupo mimnesco, recall, call attention to his deeds. Ergon, the word work or deeds. Which he does. Present indicative of the verb to do. And then he gives a list. Unjustly accusing us with wicked words. In other words, slandering John and his associates. John had a team like Paul had a team of people that worked with him. He includes them in this. Unjustly accusing us. Accusing is the word phulureo means to slander. And then the word for word, and then evil, the adjective, poneros. That isn't the end of it. His other crimes include, and not satisfied with this, not content with this, present passive participle, archeo, to be content, and not with the negative, and not content with this, preposition epi with the pronoun hutos, with translate with this. He does not receive the brethren either. Present deponent indicative epidekomai, again, receive the brethren, adelphos, brother, either. Neither. A conjunction ute. And he forbids those who desire to do so. And he forbids, present active indicative, koluo, means to hinder, forbid, those who desire to do so. Definite article, the present participle, bulomai, wish those who desire, and even, or even, the chi connective here, can be translated, even, puts them out of the church. The verb puts out is present indicative ekbalo, to expel, throw out. And then we have from the church ek with, again, the second reference to the local church here, the definite article ekklesia. Wow. What a character. Of course, it generates all kinds of things in your thinking. How this guy get in this position? Well, let's see if we'll work with it here. I mean, without knowing all the details. This letter now reaches a climax, for which the preceding was to encourage Gaius, who was in the same church as Diotrephes. What fun. And yet, it did not upset the application, the wonderful application that Gaius had been making towards others in time of need, showing hospitality, trying to work on the details of that, traveling believers, and things of this nature. So again, he was operating as a believer ought to operate, took the opportunity to do the right thing, but here is this individual who they could not have been on good terms. So he had to struggle with this environment, with this character, who had somehow positioned himself over these believers and was running amok and abusing people and all that one can imagine. What, do you have them all scared? Do you have them all frightened? Was he some big mean guy physically? That too? I don't know. The Diotrephes problem, more than anything else, precipitated this letter, I would presume. So John gets the good news about Gaius and all that's going on. And obviously was informed that this believer, another example for you, of a bad believer carrying on in a local church. 3. John informs Gaius that he has sent a letter to the local church which Diotrephes has suppressed. In other words, everything was coming through him. And this was a letter to help and encourage and teach and whatever was in this particular letter that, of course, is lost thanks to Diotrephes. Now, I'm not saying a book in the Bible is gone because of one guy. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying when he read it, he openly disagreed with its contents. Really? And maligned its author before the assembly. This is an open, in-your-face attack. Not a behind-the-scenes type of an attack where people may come up and speak ill of the pastor teacher out there that people have done over the years. No, he had the gall to attack the Apostle John and the content of his letter. It's amazing. Someone this absolutely power mad. I presume it wasn't a large church, but I don't know that either. It's hard to tell. Maybe it was just a few people, and they're all cowed by this guy. That would not be a fun place to assemble in. Knowing that he was this super spiritual bully. And yet, the church held together. The fact the letter is not lost is not surprising if it fell into his hands. But it's one of these many letters that no doubt apostles wrote that in and of themselves they're fine. They can't all be in the canon. On the ones God wanted wound up in the Bible, in the canon of Scripture. We do not know if this letter was addressed to this man or to the church in general. I presume it was for the church in general. So he's the filter, right? For everything that comes down. And got himself somehow in this position that is only left to our imagination. Maybe he was legitimately appointed. And had legitimately had a position of authority. And people, being what they are reluctant to buck an authority that has been placed there. Diotrephes resented John. We'll just call it, which I've experienced, jealousy. They're jealous. They want what they don't have, or and that is the influence over people legitimately that John had, showed him zero respect and attacked a first line apostle. Good grief. It's amazing, almost mind-boggling, that someone would put themselves in that kind of a position. So here we have an extreme example. Diotrephes, whatever his position within the church, was driven by STA power lust. These types do surface in local churches. They want to control the thing, either behind the scenes or, in his case, out in front before everybody. They want the influence that a legitimate pastor teacher has over his flock. They want it. They desire it. At the time of writing, he had established himself in a position of authority, either by maneuvering or by apostolic appointment. We don't know. It's what he did that stands out. Again, we have another example of a born-again believer that can act in this high-handed fashion. Under this difficult situation, apostolic action was called for. 13. This is the part of the ministry that isn't enjoyable. But if you got to do it, you got to do it. If you got to stand up against board members, and I've had to down and through the history from time to time, I take kind of a low-key approach. I let them run their mouth. And they start acting weird and out of character. I don't immediately conclude that they're goners, but usually they are. I've seen it. So you have to pull rank and exercise your authority. Normal circumstances, we want to be kind and as gentle as we can be, but forceful and direct in our communication. But when people or individuals start assuming that they know the direction the local church ought to go and start voicing their disaffection to others outside the local church, that's when your warning signal goes up. You have the blessing here of having a pastor teacher that has looked out for your interest and have provided you with an environment and doctrine, and I've had a lot of help doing that all by myself, whereby you can grow spiritually. But when people start getting dissatisfied and begin to express that dissatisfaction, you need to take note. Pray for them. Maybe they're just having, some kind of a deal. But maybe they've been infected by somebody. Maybe somebody's got to them. Could even be their spouse that got to them. Instead of properly putting her in her place, they listen to her. This can happen, whatever the source is. John informs Gaius that upon his next visit to the area, he would confront Diotrephes with his evil deeds. You want to do this openly? You want to carry on like this? Then you need, and Paul would from time to time, name names of individuals that were troublemakers and disruptive to the well-being of the royal family in general. That's one thing that, we say the pastor teacher has this authority from God, and these are the people that ask him to be their pastor teacher, and you have authority. And there have been a few occasions in my history, and it was dealing with the board, not just some individual that's, a loose cannon running around acting up usually. It's usually been in historically with the board. And I give people a lot of time. I've even encouraged them to pull in their horns and stay on the board, showing this. But they got together out there, had their little meetings. And I figured out one particular person was poisoning the others. And the others weren't standing up to it. They're long gone. And new board members plugged themselves in and carried it forward under a fairly tumultuous time, but we got through it. So again, those who use these kind of practices, this one, he was in this position, however, and was running roughshod over the lives of these believers, and had the gall to malign John, his teaching, and anything else he could bring up. John would exercise his apostolic authority and remove him from the church if necessary. You want to kick people out? You're gone. And if John had given him or put him in this position as kind of an overseer and so forth, and he did what he did, then he too can be removed. And God would obviously, as he always does, support legitimate authority when it's operating properly. He backs it up. Remember, that's the principle we've studied many times. When authority has to do difficult things and exercise it over people, God honors authority. He likes authority. Not abusive authority, but authority when it is exercised in a proper fashion. You have a right to exercise authority. And in situations like this, where there is open rebellion against the local body and trying to affect members of the church, that's really bad. You ever have that happen to you? And some of you may have. You have the right to tell them they are so far out of line and don't ever call me again in this regard. Ever. And I'm not listening to your crap. It's evil. There's nowhere in the Bible this type of action is justifiable. And we've had our examples in recent times of this behavior. And we've dealt with it. We're moving on. I'm not going to dwell on it. I'm just pointing it out. It's an object lesson. Stealing sheep, trying to influence believers, violation of John 10. They have no divine authority over people. And run down the snow list and call whoever you're going to call. That is way gone. There's nothing in this that is of God. Ever. And they hooked people. There was a day when they wouldn't have gone for none of this. I was telling someone before class, I've had a history of individuals who we trained in our in-house seminary who got out there and began to attack me. You'd think you'd keep your mouth shut. If I'd been in a local church and left there and there, I have nothing to say negative. He did this for me back in the day. And now I'm going to bite the hand that fed me? It isn't going to happen. And then there's interfering with your sheep, trying to woo them to move here and do this. This is all out of line. Anybody who ever called me, if there was ever to be a case, I only had one instance I can think of where someone called me and was give me this laundry list of the bad things this pastor was doing down in Arkansas. Now they were going to move here. You're not my sheep. I don't have to listen to this. You're going to do what you're going to do. Well, sure enough, they moved up here, parked out on the parking lot. They didn't last 10 minutes. I don't know what the pastor was doing. It's none of my business. It's none of my business. I don't interfere with other sheep. I've visited other congregations, like New York or wherever. One of the members would ask me what my opinion is. I says, I'm not here, I'm not your pastor, I'm just a guest here visiting y'all. I mean, it's not that we can't talk doctrine, but if it's on something he hasn't taught or I don't think he's taught, I ain't touching it. Now with a 20-foot pole, I don't have to. That's not person is not my spiritual responsibility. So this is basic stuff. Basic stuff. Where do pastors get off thinking that they can listen to the complaints of a disaffected member from another church? It's almost like, well, this is going to be your history, Jack. It happened almost the minute I got here. Crybabies went running down to Houston with a line. I didn't even get first consideration, just bought whatever they said. And I went down there to make peace and to set the record straight. Because I cared about that, and I didn't want someone to be blindsided by somebody up here that got all ruffled up because they didn't get it the way they wanted it here. They were no longer the spiritual ones. They were now just like everyone else, sitting out there learning doctrine. And I would, not directly, I would call them down just like anyone else who is misapplying. Not directly as individuals. Step all over their toes. Because they thought they were above certain things. And it didn't work. But at that time, the entire board at that time, and the entire church, besides those people that went running to Houston, rallied and didn't flinch. They didn't flinch. So this is one of those things we wish we didn't have to deal with. But I've had to deal with. And I'm not talking about people that are spiritual dummies that didn't make any contribution. No, they make solid contributions. I can think of their high-level application, and then they got infected with some virus. So, John, Diotrephes' abuses included malicious maligning of John and his associates. Anyone supportive of John, like Gaius. He put out of the church anyone who was supporters of John and who received into their homes visitors who were in support of John, or something like that. I don't know what his criteria was for trying to remove people from the church. Who does he think he is? He got himself in this position. I don't know if you had them all cowed or whatever it was. I don't know the details. That's where you're out on a limb here. If he had gotten his position because John appointed him as a kind of overseer for the well-being of the congregation, then he would use that as his reason that he was... I don't know. I really don't. We won't know. Based on this letter, the details, or at least I'm being honest with you, I don't. And of course, he suppressed or openly contradicted John's letter. In any case, he ran his mouth and he attacked an apostle. But hey, Paul had to fight all these kind of characters that would rise up. We're not talking about somebody that was necessarily bad from the beginning. He's just somebody that went real bad. And you never know who it is. Now, don't go around judging people. Some people have their little issues. Personally, you know, the way I've dealt with it, I just get up here and do what I do. Go home. Pray about it. I know I make myself miserable over it. It's no fun. But it's what you got to do. How did this affect Gaius? Well, it didn't affect him in terms of his continued application. He knew the right thing to do and he kept doing it, helping out believers who are traveling and coming through. So what was the criteria for him kicking someone out of the church? They didn't agree with him and his bullying tactics? Then how do you do that anyway? He did it. Beware of anyone who seeks to undermine your pastor teacher on any occasion and under any circumstances. But what do you think about? Well, I think that you watch out for. Now, if someone steps over the line, they can repent and get back on track and fine. We're all for that. Come to their senses and quit it. So beware of anyone who seeks to undermine your relationship with your pastor teacher and trying to drive a wedge between you and that person. In other words, you probably don't have to worry about people out here in the world. But sometimes it comes close to home. This man's inordinate ambition and consummate disdain for all peers resulting in a bullying office is a warning to all. James 3. I think I got that. Notice how often in the letters there's these warnings issued. Previous letter, warnings against these Antichrist types, these doctrinally corrupt types, and all the other kind of warnings that you need, because as a believer, you need to be on your guard. When things don't sound right, it's probably because they're wrong. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and lie against the truth. And then, the wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic even. I added that. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exists, and I have seen my share of it. Jealousy and selfish ambition. We at Maranatha have followed our history, and we have what we have here by God's grace and the application of believers, responding to the teaching. All around you, the works that these men and women have done, both on the physical property as well as in the prep school and all these other areas that are attended to. But selfish ambition, there were those who were jealous. That's all I can figure it out. What do they want? My position? No. Some went off, tried to start their own little church. That fell through so quick. Because God isn't in it. It's just what it is. Well, Jack's just lucky. What? A pastor's out there and he's got a little tiny group, inevitably. And keep your eyes on what you're supposed to be doing. I've exhorted them back in the day when I knew they were suffering. They were tight financially. They were It wasn't in an attractive environment. And I never put any of that down. All I ever did with those men that I had trained was to encourage them. They come here and see all this, like, you know, well, we didn't have all this. We were cash and carry, bounced around a few places, prayed about it. I prayed about it because I didn't like the disruptive aspect. I wanted to be in one location and we didn't have to set it up every time, you know, that basic stuff. And God worked it out. It was a legitimate request for something to have your own place and take care of it and provide an environment for people to come and learn doctrine. A comfortable environment. And this is a comfortable, nice, clean environment. When things break, we get them fixed. We do what we have to do. And we're still doing it. We've had people who have been willing, under what we have gone through recently, we have had people who are willing to step up and make their applications. And thank you for that. There is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without phoniness, hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. He who engaged in this evil power play has his actions immortalized in a canonical book. How about this for poetic justice? Now, he isn't going to be miserable in phase three. But it is a fact. His deeds are immortalized for all Christians, for all through time. And I don't know if a person like him repented in sackcloth and ashes, illustratively, and got his act together. That'd be the smart road to take. That's the way out of a mess when a person gets themselves in any kind of a mess like that. They judge themselves and they turn it around and do the right thing. All right, Sunday we will wrap this book up and start Jude. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to hear these things. Bless us as we move forward in these times. In Christ's name.